UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Okay, I'm just going to say this.
Yeah.
I'd like to just hire two prostitutes.
And James Strebel.
You could hire somebody, say, hey, come to my house and work me out.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
To go here, we move into the 4 o'clock hour. It's The Take. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan hanging out with you. Reminder, we are broadcasting mobily from the Papa John Studios. Use that promo code RadioXL for a two topping extra large pizza and a 2 liter for just $14. Go to papajohns.com or the Papa John's app. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680 if you want to get in on anything there. We'll obviously be reading a ton of those. A couple other things. I want to continue, if we can, Mitch, just quickly, our conversation. I want to clarify one thing. You are losing all of these horse-racing bets as Churchill Downs is going to start firing back up here, and these are going to be, I mean, races, what, 11 horses in the field? I mean, they're going to have some nice fields as we get things going down the street there at Churchill Downs. We're all jacked up on that. We're going to be gambling, horse racing, and Mitch is doing so with this precious paycheck, not knowing anything about these horses. And so do you not buy like a tip sheet from somebody? Who's the former U of L player? Is it Levitch?
Yeah, he does a tip sheet.
Yeah, it's like $10. Have you not got Levitch's sheet? What's going on here?
No, I don't get anyone's sheet, but I do follow some Twitter accounts that put out some picks. And I bet through the TVG app. I know it's Twin Spires. But they give you like their picks, Trackmaster, stuff like that.
Yeah, so. their picks are trash.
Yeah. One hit though for me one weekend. I was very excited. It was like a 10-1 horse odds, and I like won $100. It was awesome.
So how much? You're not losing big money though. Like you don't have a problem, right?
No. I'm not like losing hundreds and hundreds of dollars every weekend. No.
Okay, good. Are you like the $5 bets like lock? Is that kind of
the $5 bets? You know, the dollar trifectas, exactas, that sort of thing.
So you sit in your apartment alone. Then this is what Saturday is going to be. You sitting in your apartment, alone, losing at horse racing, wearing sweatpants.
That's been my past two Saturdays: sitting at home playing NCAA football 13, betting on horses, drinking bourbon while it's like 70 degrees outside.
Part of that doesn't sound too bad.
Actually, it doesn't. Yeah, like, I wanted to crush it, but I can't.
It's great, but like once it's over, you're like, wow, I just really wasted my Saturday doing that.
All right, well, I'm just making sure you're not falling. I mean, do you think you could do a better job? Do you think this show could do a better job than the Diener Show?
Maybe. I mean,
if we combined as a show and we bet horses, do you think we could do a better job? Because, again, and Blankenbaker and Birdhead Ryan and all of these dignitaries led by John Bull all got together, pooled their money. I felt like I was being peer pressured. I never paid because Coop was too involved.
And he was too
scared. But they all met up at a Diener remote, and they hashed through it for hours.
Ooh.
And then their first race, they lost.
Boom.
And lost all of their money. And Diener was trying to, I think, get the ticket. He had hundreds of dollars, and all the internet went down.
Oh.
Nothing worked. The lines were too big. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a story that he told there that was disastrous. And I think we could walk in there and just pick the five horse and do as good of a job as they did.
Yeah, so, I'm of that belief too. It just scares me. I mean, when we determine this, like the like races we win or like the money we win, like where we
total money, you can bet however you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Easy says Gas Bag Gambling League Season 2, to which I would say getting Diener and Blankenbaker riled up would be great. Taking a shot at John Bull, of course, would be great. But Locke becomes the star because you never know what he's betting.
It's
and
so
you, you always have to try to – it's like the FBI. You got to try to catch him in the lie.
Yes.
That's all that I did is I was trying to stay one step ahead of the master. I felt like I was in law school, and I've never been in law school. But I would imagine one being one step ahead of the lie.
Yes.
Right? Or the deceit is law school. That's what Keith Pointer tells me. Okay?
Oh, okay, there you go. So if I I'm really bad at horse gambling.
Well, no one knows anything. They're animals. The animals don't know they're racing.
But if I give you $10 right now.
$10?
$10 right now.
How about $1,000? Put $1,000
on. $1,000?
Put a K on the table. Put $1,000 on the table.
I'm not Big Easy. I don't walk around with hundreds rolled in a rubber band.
Big Easy brought a $100 bill, wiped his nose with it.
I know. It's not me.
Gave it to Cooper.
I'd give you a 10. If I give you a 10, and it's because I don't know what to do.
$10?
But that's it's towards the pot.
I hate to be the guy that says man up because there's nothing manly about me, but man up just a little bit.
That's all I got in my wallet right now. Okay, what would it take?
PayPal me.
What would it take? What are we talking? How much?
I mean, $100. $100. I mean, Mitch. Mitch has got to be playing with $100 on Saturday. Sure.
Yeah, that was last Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I'm bored, Strebel. I'm freaking bored.
That makes me nervous.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a family. He's not buying. You know, buying sidewalk chalk and your wife. How many packages does she have arrived?
When you guys are making fun of me for eating fish sticks and mac and cheese,
it's because
I'm betting. Yeah,
that's why you're eating fish sticks and mac and cheese. You're losing all your money on betting. I get it.
Says Diener would use Clint Glasscock for his tips to win. To which I would say, you're probably right. But if that was a surefire system, then he wouldn't be where he is right now, losing all. So I don't know.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? If Clint was nailing all of these races, which he very well may, where's Diener on all of that then?
Yeah, then they would have won that big bet they had together with Mark. And I remember that because that's when I was started with the show. Cooper just, I don't know what I should do.
You never win a race. You never win a race. Just pick the two horse. You never win a race.
I know. But he passed himself off as his horse racing savant because he'd have the program and the sweatpants.
The track sheet. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you should have seen the way he sauntered around Churchill Downs when we were out there for one of the Thursday. You were out there, Strebel.
He was.
You showed up dressed up in your school stuff.
I was in my...
You had these horrific pants on.
Khakis. Had some khakis. Probably a polo shirt on. You know, I rolled up.
You look generic.
Cooper went and bought us beers. It was very nice.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he got us some beers. And then Mark...
I mean, I don't think he bought those. I think I handed him a 20 spot. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I don't think he went to go buy those for us.
He ran the errand, if you will.
Yes.
And then Mark and Drew walk up with their perfect hair and their designer jeans and their actually nice polo
shirts.
How great
did they look?
They looked really good, and I felt inadequate as a person.
Yeah, I had shorts on. Texas says you need Big Easy to help you make some picks. I don't think we need Big Easy at all, quite frankly.
No. He had his little row with Lachlan McLean in the Gas Bag Gambling League. Yeah, it's tweet the show, Easy. We're good.
Texas says, is there anyone less cool that gets talked up on the radio more than Big Easy? That coming down at 437-9680. Texas says, you guys are jackasses. Gulfstream is in Florida. I know. Settle down. Texas says, let's see here. Does it come as a surprise to anyone that Locke is for the owners in the MLB dispute?
No.
That's a great text. That's absolutely true. All right, so let's think about it, Mitch, because Blankenbaker is – let's be ready in the 5 o'clock hour when everyone's listening, when Diener's listening to Governor Beshear, and we can take shots and let's battle because now we
need to
do that.
The offer's on the table now. Let's see how the Diener show responds. If they're for it, let's see what they think, and then we can put pen on paper get this thing rolling.
Pen on paper.
If Mitch ever got a lot of money, we know where it would all go. Casinos.
Casinos,
yes. Mitch does look like a casino. That's what he does look like, and God bless him.
Speaking of casinos,
I miss it.
Do you think it's opening anytime soon?
I don't know. I was telling the wife, I was like, you know the saddest thing? Well, not the saddest thing. Let me rephrase that. I go, for us, where we are in our lives, and, you know, we still have jobs and everything, and we're healthy and knock on wood. That continues to happen.
Sure.
We were just talking. I was like, man, it's probably good that, you know, with all this quarantine stuff, that the sickness, with what is going on, if the casino were open and I had the quarantine that was going on,
we would be
doing the show just from there.
Yeah.
I would be like Pete Rose. I would just be at the casino.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
I was thinking,
I was in New Albany the other day, and the first thing I thought of was, it's right there.
It's just down the road.
It's just down the road.
Yeah.
I became sad. Physically ill is what happened to me.
Well, the way things are going, it probably won't be long. It'll probably be June before Caesars is open again.
I don't know if they're going to put partitions in between. Can you even do that,
really? I don't know, man.
I mean, there's just so – I have no idea.
Or cap it off at a number, like only a certain number of people.
That's probably what you're looking at initially,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know how you start that, but that's exactly what you're looking at, obviously. Only the two entrances, right?
Right.
To get in there. So, yeah. Oh, I miss it. Oh, the sports book,
the
tournament, Masters, day baseball. I mean, we would have done a stunt. We just send Mitch up there to bet on day baseball.
Right.
We just send him up there. The wad of money's up there. Just he's always on the air. He's just in the background betting baseball.
Betting first fives. Yeah. I was there the weekend of the Kentucky, Florida, Louisville, Virginia game, and I had so much fun there. I was like, I'm coming back next weekend, and that's when all this happened.
Yeah,
that's when all started.
I was at the Tailspin Ale Fest. They just got the Tailspin Ale Fest in. I mean, you think about that. I mean, if it's a couple days after, it's done.
Because next
weekend it doesn't happen.
Because by Wednesday is when they started shutting down all the conference tournaments. Because you and I had a conversation about that. You know, we were in a large group of people shoulder to shoulder, not knowing anything that was about to happen. And then, boom, 3 days later. Over.
Texas says, I won $300 with Big Easy's picks that day you were all out at Churchill Downs. Listen, his one lucky bleeping day. Okay? Texter, is Drew's horse still Mr. Darcy? Is he running? I don't know. He hasn't said anything on the air about
it. I know it's Mr. Darcy. I don't know if it's still running, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think they're done with that horse. I think he's moved on.
They moved on to a different horse?
I thought he had, yeah.
Hmm.
Texas says, wait a minute, I thought this was Big Easy who was in studio with you.
No, I'm not Big Easy. Big Easy is texting from home.
No, he's got to be out on the road.
He's not listening
to this on his Alexa at home.
You're right. He's out.
He's not making dinner for the family and streaming AM sports talk radio.
He's out on site.
He's out on site. He's running down the road. He's click listening at Kroger.
Yes.
He's doing something like that. 437-9680. So we've done, and we will get into it in the 5 o'clock hour even more. The battleground of cocky 8-win football teams around here. It spouted off the last 24 hours. Strebel has been knee-deep in all of this Twitter nonsense, so we will get to that. I also, did you happen to see, and I need to pull this up as well, did you happen to see the Sammy Watkins story? I want to get to that in the 4 o'clock hour. Bleacher Report did an in-depth article on Sammy Watkins.
The receiver, right?
Yeah,
the Bears, ex-Clemson receiver. No, the Bills. He was with the Bills.
He was drafted by the Bills.
He won the
Super Bowl with the Chiefs. No, that's Kevin White.
You're right. That's Kevin White.
Boy,
yeah.
I mean.
Sorry. But I thought he like spent some time in Chicago and then went to Kansas City.
Let me make sure here. Hang on, because if not, I hang on because I don't want to blame you for something here.
Okay.
So hang on. It does seem like there was a team that was in the middle there.
Yes.
The Rams.
The Rams.
Yes. The Rams.
Okay.
He had the long hair. I think Kevin White had the long hair in Chicago. That's what you did.
It's
uncomfortable for me to say it, Mitch. Did he do it? I'm right here, right?
I don't think I did that. I think that's exactly what you did. Sammy Watkins had a stint with the Bears on the way to the Chiefs.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right, I was
that,
wrong.
That was Kevin White.
That was
no.
a mistake by me. Apologies.
An unfortunate one.
An unfortunate one.
That's an unfortunate yeah. mistake. Well, yeah.
It happens. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I didn't read the story on Bleacher Report. I didn't see it.
Oh, boy. You
is he
go
okay?
To break? No, he is okay.
Okay,
but
good.
He feels demons.
Demons?
Demons, yeah. It's a crazy story.
Like actual demons?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need to read it to you. So I'll find that. Let me ask you guys this. We'll get to that in the back end of the 4 o'clock hour here. Let me ask you this. A generic question. But Coach K in the news yesterday. In fact, let's play the Bomani Jones sound. I believe it's during highly questionable. Lebatard sets him up as they talked about, you know, like you do in TV for 60 seconds about something. So this is Lebatard introing it and Bomani Jones because I want to ask the question. It's a basic one, but I want to know what Strebel thinks and what people think about this what-if question that I have for Coach K. But this is some sound that it's made its way around. Bomani Jones bringing up John Calipari. I wish you would pronounce his name right, but that's a whole different discussion. I'm not one to ever fix someone else who is making millions of dollars broadcasting. But John Calipari and Coach K, here's Bomani Jones, and then I have a question for you knuckleheads.
Zion Williamson and this kind of allegation now at this point in 2020 gets sports fans shrugging because we assume that most of the people out here are doing this. It is something to talk about here when we're interested in content making and we continue to talk about the injustices that there are in the NCAA. But the part of this that I find interesting, guys, is that Duke over the years has somehow largely skated on all of this stuff. And it's really naive to think that Duke is so much better than everyone else that without cheating, they can beat all of the cheaters. So when Zion Williamson ends up at Duke, you have to wonder to yourself, did he get there by kosher means? And I don't know whether he snitches or not. These guys usually don't snitch at all.
Nah, he ain't snitching. He's not going to do it on. They got a situation there now. They're in this game together. Zion is better off because he went to Duke and got the pub that came from going to Duke. He seemed to enjoy his experience. He's not going to be the one that says anything about what happened while he was there. I do find it interesting, though, that, yes, generally speaking, we are numb about the idea of college players getting paid. However, are you telling me that if this were John Calipari involved in this same situation, that we would be here talking about just across the board, oh, man, this doesn't really matter? No, it wouldn't be all these guys get paid. It will be we knew John Calipari paid players. That's the way we do it. I do find it interesting that once it gets to Duke, right, when Duke decided they wanted to do one-and-done players, it was a change in the times. And it wasn't about distorting what basketball was. This is just what it is now. And so if people were to find out this happened with Duke, they would just say, oh, well, I guess this is what it is now. But keep in mind, when they thought about taking down that banner from 1999 because of Corey McGetty and Myron Pinky and all of that, wasn't nobody running to do that then in that time either. This becomes fascinating in large part because it's happening to a program that people by and large have decided no matter what it is, we're going to say it's okay because they're so bankrupt.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because what he brought up yesterday, did Bomani Jones, is what we talked about in part, and that is when it starts getting brought up that are guys that are darlings with the college basketball fanboy sports media, then it pivots to, well, of course you know, of course people are getting paid and everyone knows
yes.
that, and there's no problem. Look at the worth of Zion Williamson that for so long, I agree with Bomani, obviously. If it were John Calipari, it would be being handled differently. The flip side, but to add to that, it is worth mentioning that Cal's past does help him in this.
Sure.
Okay, and so it's like the Louisville fan that's complaining about them getting caught. It's like, yes, Nike's cheating too, but they didn't get caught by the federal government the way that Adidas did. Sorry about your luck. People laws all over the country. Some get caught, some do not for many years or ever. That is just the way that it is. And so Louisville, that's how I feel. They're part of that. That's how I feel
sure.
as it pertains to him mentioning John Calipari. Where I disagree, and ESPN initially pushed this out to Twitter last night, whatever it was, and it was, you know, if if this were Cal, it would be, I won't say a bigger, like a bigger deal, or people would be talking about.
It'd be talked about differently.
Yeah, I think it would, but I don't think they pushed it out there about the players being paid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anymore if that moves the needle. That's the other part of the conversation, is I don't know if it moves the needle. I know it moves the needle if it were John Calipari.
Yes.
And so on that, I do agree with him. So Bomani Jones said that, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you guys this. What if, with Coach K, what if they get caught? And I ask that because you have the Duke bug. You're bothered by Duke. And
yes.
So I don't view them like that. So I need someone. Mitch, you're not bothered by him either, right? You don't give a damn,
no,
right?
No, I don't care about Duke.
Okay, so that's why we need Round Daddy here.
Yes.
For this conversation, because the Christian Laettner and all that big Blue Nation nonsense with Laettner and the obsession with Duke and everybody else, you have a lot of that hatred in your heart that I don't have.
Absolutely.
And I asked the question, if it ever did come out that people connected to Duke, along with the Brian Bowen type thing with Adidas, instead it's Nike, okay? So you have agents, you have the mom taking money, mm-hmm. you got a house involved, maybe you have employment, you have money, you have him being ineligible anyway, and then you would throw in some component, right?
Yes.
Like Louisville and Kenny Johnson in the money, some component of someone attached to Duke, okay, who is also involved with Zion Williamson and or his family. Do I think this is going to happen? No. I think this is how you talk big bleep to get a settlement and to get something,
out of him.
Yeah, to get some money here with the saga that has went on between he and this individual, okay? But I ask the question, if it cannot be ignored, what's that feel like for fans and how is that covered?
Well,
is it just Kentucky fans being abrasive about it?
No, I don't think so. I think that there is a national sentiment against Duke. I think everybody views Duke as holier than thou. Coach K and the way he conducts himself and the way he tells everybody else how they should conduct themselves, even though he doesn't always practice what he preaches, and you have the whole the brotherhood thing, and everything that's wrapped up into Duke. Most college basketball fans do not like Duke. Like hardcore college basketball fans, if you like Kansas, North Carolina, obviously, Kentucky, even Louisville fans, for the most part, don't like Duke and Coach K. I think that it would be applauded if Duke went down. If Coach K went down, there'd be some major dunking, not by the media, but by fans in general. I think you'd see a lot of people take great pleasure and pride in Coach K and that program getting dinged by the NCAA.
How do you think it would be covered?
Because that would
be the story. I mean, that is essentially this. I mean, think about right now, if I gave you a story that was connected to a coach, I gave you anyone, if I gave you someone that was connected to a coach in a program, the Joe Paterno thing, because of the heinous acts, obviously Zion Williamson getting hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
We're talking about different scandals, but Joe Paterno very much had that. The media craze. Is there a media craze? Do people flip on Coach K? Because this would make Duke even more popular. It's like the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
They can be bad and they can still draw a pretty damn good number that they're going to be playing Sunday at 4:25 with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Fox.
Right.
Right? And so I just wonder how it would, because you're with me that you can bellyache all you guys want about Coach K, that this isn't going to get him.
It's not.
It's only going to make you angrier.
Yes, absolutely.
It's only going to hate you more because they're not going to get in trouble. But that's the part of the conversation that I don't know if I even feel silly bringing up, because no one really thinks that they're going to get into any trouble. But what if something came out that did have them? I mean, the NCAA doesn't need this mountain of evidence. UofL has seen that. It doesn't matter what your argument is. By the way, the one thing, Greg Doyle broke up. That Greg Doyle wrote in his article in the Star is about this independent council. And I'm like, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
That the NCAA creates an independent council. How independent is it? That's exactly what we talked about for 3 days when everyone was like, well, I'll go to the independent council.
It's still
tied. It's still tied to the NCAA. You can't trust those bastards. Get out of here.
Right.
So anyway. What would be the fallout? Like, how does ESPN cover that? How does Jay Billis cover that? What does Dickie V say? I mean, if I gave you Duke and K, that's number one. It's number one. Is a number one more than Kentucky and Cal? Is a number one more than Saban in Alabama in programs nationally that you would love to see them get hit? Those are the three, are they not?
I think so. And I think...
Would it be Clemson and Dabo? I don't know.
Too many people like Dabo. They do. He's got the whole shtick down to a T. We're all shucks, gee whiz. I mean, people like
him. Who would be the ones, if I ask you, who would be the ones that if the nation saw them get knocked down? I mean, the Patriots, but I don't know. Brady's left at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Jared Stidham now as their quarterback. That doesn't exactly
rile people up. Are we talking about like all pro sports, college?
I mean, all of them, but I think – cheating, we're more sensitive
in college.
Yeah, we're in college, and maybe it's just around here. Houston Astros, that would be one.
They got hellfire rained upon them.
They did. You're right about that. Yeah,
boy, Houston. Did they really? They went to the World Series. They won a World Series.
Yeah,
I know. But
in the season, they're getting punished. Isn't going to happen. They won. Their punishment got coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's over. They get no punishment. They totally won.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
you should hate them.
That's true. That's true. But I don't think people.
But Calipari's on that list.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Kentucky and Calipari are on that list.
He's not as high as the Astros, and he's not as high as Coach K and Duke, right?
No.
But he might be third. He might be fourth.
If Coach K and Duke got busted, I'll tell you what the articles would be, and what the flip would be. Mike Krzyzewski.
How can a coach know? How can a coach know?
He was put in a position with the one and duns and the shoe companies and everything.
To gamble.
He had to do it to keep up with John Calipari. And it would be John Calipari would be turned back into the villain. And
the
one and done thing is bad now because Kay was forced to do this to keep up with Cal and all the rest of the shoe company schools and everybody else.
I agree with you.
He didn't really want to do it, but he had to do
it. This is a Blank and Baker type take, but I actually think I agree with you.
That's the tweet. I can see the tweets by Dickie V and everybody now. You can't blame Coach K. He was just – this is the hand he was dealt. This is the climate of college basketball right now. This is how the deals are done. Coach K's an innocent victim in all of this. He just was – that's what it would be, Andy. I'll tell you right now what it would be. They wouldn't criticize him. They wouldn't go after him. They would try to flip the conversation back to everybody else, and K was just a victim of the times.
Oh, he could put it on his assistant, you know,
Jeff
whatever
Capel
it was.
And who's there now? Shire, John Shire.
It's all Shire face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Texter, Ohio State football. Oh, no, they've got in trouble before. We don't care about
that. Yeah, with Maurice Claret and then the tattoos for rings or whatever that scandal was.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Texter says, the bulk is back to making it poor UK versus the world. He's a bum. That coming down at 437-9680. Texter says, Cal has left two programs on probation. Like it or not, he has baggage. Stop complaining. Oh, that's the point that I do agree with is, yes, Bomani. John Calipari, who has priors, if he does it, and with how vocal he has been about all of this stuff, he is more polarizing. Yes, when more polarizing people step in it, it is fundamentally more interesting.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny any of that. I'm not like other people that try to excuse away and run away from Calipari's past. He's earned it. He's earned it. He's earned the scrutiny. He's earned the mocking and everything else. But don't act like it's just him, that it's just John Calipari. Now you've got Rick Pitino and Bill Self and Sean Miller and Will Wade. And now you have Coach K. Yeah,
Mark Godfrey.
They're all in this too. So why is this pivot now? Well, John Calipari bad. You know,
you're mad about something that you think might happen.
Yes, I am. But no, I know this is what I know is going to happen. I know that Zion Williamson is going to pay this person, and it's going to go away. And I'm not mad about that. That's how it's done.
That's what he should do.
I don't blame him.
That's what he should do.
That's what he absolutely what he should do. And I don't blame him. I don't want Zion Williams. Well, actually, I would like it if Zion Williamson would go and say, yes, I was paid to go to Duke and Coach K knew about it. But I know it's not going to happen, and I understand that. And I don't begrudge Zion for that.
Would it make, and Mitch, maybe you can help me, 437-9680, would it make Louisville fans feel better?
If Duke got busted?
Well, yeah, do that. I mean, how much do they want company?
They want it bad.
Which, again, is rooting for the NCAA.
They want Kansas.
Who is going to punish you. They would be rooting for the same entity that has taken away your banner and probably is going to put you out of the NCAA tournament for at least a year.
I think many Louisville fans have a scorched earth mentality when it comes to this right now. If we're going down, we want everybody to go down. They want Kansas burned to the ground. They want Arizona burned to the ground. They want LSU, NC State. Anybody that was named in this FBI case, they want them all burned.
I don't know if they want scorched earth, but I do agree that they want to see at least somebody else get in trouble. Besides,
no, they want them all. If Louisville fans, since they're going down, especially Kansas, I think Kansas is the one they want the most because it's a higher profile program, and they're egregious was the word used, I believe, Andy, with Kansas, and they want that egregious program that has a higher profile taken down with them. No, Louisville fans want them all done. They want them all going down.
437-9680. Let's take a break. On the other end, I need to pitch this TV show to you guys.
I can't wait.
Sammy Watkins, this story is crazy. And we need to get Mitch going here. We need to get this Murray Minute. Mitch, are you ready to do that after the break?
Yeah, we can do it.
All right, we'll get to the Murray Minute. It's next.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
This is what he has on his Twitter account. A lot of women who get tattoos of men that then he covers up with like a tiger or something. Does that make sense?
Like
there's
the
a lot of that.
And James Strebel.
There's a lot of women who put men's names
on their parts.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Their private areas.
Mitch, how are you doing?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Our long-term partner, UPS Jobs, would like to say thank you to all the drivers, supply chain, and logistic members who keep our community going by delivering needed goods on a daily basis. So a thank you to and a thank you from our good friends at UPS and UPS Jobs. Speaking of UPS Jobs, the text line 437-9680. If you want to get in on that, I'll read a bunch. We talked to Coach K, got some sound in and other items. So we can talk about that here shortly in the 5 o'clock hour. I do want to play some of the Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty sound that we can play at some point as well. So we've done a lot today. We'll get into the chestiness of the two local football teams. We can get back into what I think John Calipari eventually will do and should do. Strebel disagrees, so we can get into that. I do need to remind you, coming up tomorrow, U of L AD Vince Tyree will speak with the media via teleconference at 2 o'clock. About an hour before then, 1 or 1:30, they will have a virtual meeting of the executive committee of the U of L Athletics Association Board of Directors. So obviously, we shall see what comes from that. We'll probably have some updates, I would imagine.
Sure.
Some updates, any NCAA stuff, and other items as well. One quick thing. Can we play the David Johnson sound here? Mitch, do we have that? David Johnson did a teleconference today, and, you know, it was, you know, 8-10 minutes, whatever it was, and he's not exactly long-winded, so they weren't lengthy questions. But it's good training for David Johnson, who is going to be the face of the program this coming year for U of L basketball. And so one of the things that he was asked was about, and now, Mitch, how exactly do you have this cut about him? He was asked two different times about the NBA. Like, he was asked by Kent Taylor, and then like five questions later, he kind of clarified something. So how do you have it cut, Mitch? Okay.
Yeah, so the first question, like you said, from Kent Taylor is, they think about testing the NBA draft waters this year. And he said, and David Johnson answers, and at the end of the press conference, just to clarify, if, you know, all this coronavirus quarantine didn't happen, would he still not test the NBA draft waters?
Right, right. All right, so let's play. Are they in two cuts? Let's go ahead and
play
that.
No, they're combined.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and play this. David Johnson talking about why he never even put his name in any sort of way for the NBA.
How seriously did you consider maybe feeling out the NBA process?
I thought about it, but I was unsure of the whole situation just because of what was going on. And I wasn't really educated on all that, so I just decided not to. I mean, I knew that I was going to come back to college, but I just didn't want to put my name out there and do that with without any knowledge of what's going on, because I didn't know what was going to happen.
You mentioned about considering testing the, or at least getting feedback from the NBA. If there hadn't been this coronavirus stuff, do you think you would have at least gotten feedback from the NBA?
Yes, I believe so.
And there you go. And okay. Yes, I believe so. It was a yes or no answer, so we'll not get on David Johnson. So that is – the reason that is interesting is David Johnson – is content, I believe, in getting better and wanting to be in college another year. Yeah. It doesn't sound like he was a guy that was hurrying his way to the NBA, and part of that might be his inconsistent play and the injury, right? Mm. He didn't get a full season.
Right.
It took him a while to kind of get in the groove, and it's fair criticism. He was never always great when he was on the floor. There's a lot. People love David Johnson, but there's no doubt he can take a big step, and that is
sure.
One of the basis for U of L basketball this season. But I did find interesting just the fact of him, he would have at least in a normal year with a normal process. It is worth mentioning, given that David Johnson there just said he would have at least got information from the NBA,
right.
that would have been a story. That would have been a topic, James, that we would have talked about on this show. So with the pandemic and the way the season ended, and you put together the college thus far of David Johnson, you know, you have the injury when you might be the starter. I mean, the flip side could have been normal year, no coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He's the starter of this team, gets all those minutes, and matures into a player who's not back next year.
Right.
Right? Like, that is a path that could have happened, and everything seemingly, you know,
went against that.
Yeah, everything went against that. So I did find that to be interesting, because it made us have the conversation, oh, he's not even going to put his name in to even get, you can do that multiple times,
sure.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
you can get information that it was, I'm coming back, that, you know, obviously the virus and everything and has confused things. And so if you didn't have those barriers, I wonder how different the conversation would have been. That's it.
It sounded as though even if there had not been the coronavirus shutting everything down in regards to the NBA combine, that he was pretty content in coming back for his sophomore year at Louisville. He even said it. He's like, you know, I was always going to come back for my sophomore year.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
We never even had the conversation, right?
Right, right. Like, so I think that Louisville fans would have been comfortable with him just putting his name in the process and seeing how it went. I mean, last year, the same thing happened with Kentucky, with Ashton Hagans and Emmanuel Quickley. Neither one of those guys put their names in the process because they knew they had more growing to do. And I think David Johnson sees himself in a similar situation where that talent is there, the potential for the NBA is still there, but he knows what he has to do. And I think he's doing the right thing. I honestly do. I think that David Johnson is, like you said, the face of the program, and going forward, he still has something to prove, not only to NBA, but to his own coaching staff and his own fans.
Texture says, a fringe four-star, 6 points per game, face of the program. That's hilarious.
They're not wrong. I mean, But who? I mean, who else could it be? Malik Williams? It's David Johnson, right? I mean,
Kentucky, it's two high school guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That tends to work out just fine for Kentucky.
Well, for Elite Eights and Sweet 16s. Yeah. Do you have a Murray Minute, Mitch? Do you want to do that right now?
Well, why not? Let's just go.
All right, here's our Murray Minute, the kid from Callaway County. Go ahead.
Time now for the Murray Minute.
I can fish. I can hunt.
With the noodler himself.
Noodling is like, it's kind of like fishing. If you want to catch a big catfish, you just stick your arm in the pond and let the fish bite your arm, and that's how you bring it out of the pond.
The kid from Callaway County.
I'm not that country, but I am a truck guy.
His name is Mitchell Hannigan.
Good afternoon. My name is Mitch Hannigan.
And he needs his Motorola.
Motorola. I love my Motorola. Mitchell Hannigan.
All right. Thanks, Andy and James. It's, what's today? Tuesdays?
I don't know.
Tuesday's Murray Minute. We got a big one in store for you guys. And excited to announce the Mayfield Creek Bridge is going under a reconstruction phase. Nice little $200,000 project. Approved from the city of Murray. So that bumpy bridge over Mayfield Creek, yeah, you won't have to worry about that anymore. My next story.
Do kids go necking? At Nelson? Is it Nelson Creek? Is that where kids go make out when they're 14?
That's Mayfield Creek. That's where they go to smoke heaters.
Oh!
Nice. Well done.
My next story. This was meant for yesterday, but over the weekend, it's the four-year anniversary of the big tornado that went through town. I remember where I was in that big tornado. I was coming off work. My truck was always getting blown off the side of the road, and I had to go stop at Papa John's because that's where my buddy worked. And I just hung out with my buddy at Papa John's while he was at work, and everyone was scared. We had to lock the doors because we all thought we were going to die. So that was a nice memory over the weekend to think of. And then lastly, as COVID-19 is hopefully...
Tornadoes and COVID-19, boy, it's a really happy Murray Minute. I thought we were going to get Gertrude got robbed at the store.
Thought wrong. More local businesses are opening up, so make sure to go support your local businesses. Go get your margs and chips and queso at Los Portales. Go get your pancakes at Hungry Bear. Go get your Chinese food at August Moon. Go get your donuts at Murray Donuts, your steaks at Sirloin Stockade. If you haven't noticed, there's really nothing else to do in Murray besides eat out. So go out there and support your local businesses. They need you. And that has been your Murray Minute.
Wow, you turned that into an infomercial. You turned that into a nice infomercial pumping up the steakhouse. Look at that. There you go.
They have the best rolls, by the way.
What's the name of it? Stockade?
Sirloin Stockade. Owned by the Carver family.
Of course, the Carver family.
Yeah.
Solid people.
I'd like to do a remote from Hungry Bear.
Why did you say owned by the Carver people? Like we knew who the Carver people were?
Because that's what every restaurant owned by this family.
That's what they do.
Like Muggsy's Hideout, owned by the Barron family.
Muggsy's Hideout?
Wow.
What's it's a pizza Muggsy's place.
Do all the families like each other?
That's a good question. Probably not. There's a lot of small-town politics in Murray, Kentucky, believe it or not.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Well,
okay,
there we go.
Good job.
We're learning something.
Dude, that tornado, though, was crazy. I thought, I'm sure. It went over the football stadium, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It was literally, maybe a mile and a half away from where I was at the Papa John's.
Okay, so you left. Where were you working? Do you want to say? What were you doing?
I worked at a concession stand at the park. Summer baseball, I worked at the concession stand. I was going to go drive to GameStop and buy a new video game because that's what I did whenever I got paid when I was 15.
Now you gamble on Gulfstream.
On horses, yes, now yeah. I go. Yeah, now you
gamble on Gulfstream.
And my mom
it's not creepy at all. You were working the concession stand.
I mean, I was like 14, 15. It's like a basic first job for a high schooler.
Is it?
I would think so.
Okay. Anyway,
in Murray.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're leaving. You're 14 years old.
Yeah.
You're working. You're working the concession stand.
Well, I probably wasn't
14.
I was driving, so I was probably 16.
So you're 16. Yeah. That's a great point. You weren't driving. It's Murray, Kentucky. You do whatever the hell you want.
Well,
and so the storm was hitting, and you said, F it. I just... You stopped at the Papa John's, and I mean, I figured you thought you'd get back in like a freezer or something, and that would be the safest place for you to go. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, I knew my buddy worked there, so I was like, it was like, hey, get off the road. So I was like, well, my buddy worked at Papa John's, it was right next to the GameStop. I was go there and hang out with them. And when everyone was freaking out, and like the people were still trying to call and order pizzas. I was like, there's a freaking tornado outside.
People are hungry.
And the worst part about it was, like, it was pouring down, raining also, and I looked out, and my truck windows were down.
Oh. What game were you getting at GameStop? Do you remember?
Oh, I have no idea. Probably like Watch Dogs. No one has any idea what
Watch
that
Dogs.
Is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What's Watch Dogs?
Well, there it is, the Murray Minute. There it is.
I liked it. Look, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Let's take a little bit of an early break on the other end. We'll get the 5 o'clock hour going. Reminder, Governor Andy Beshear in 10 minutes over on 93.9 The Ville, but we'll keep sailing. 437-9680. We'll get to the comments from Jordan Watkins. We'll get back into that. And also what I think John Calipari will and should do. I say will, meaning I'll be exactly wrong. I'll be 100% wrong. So we can have fun with that. And we have to do the sound bracket. We are going to crown a champion today, and so we'll do that here in the 5 o'clock hour. It's The Take on this Tuesday on ESPN 680.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.